Hi, everyone. I'm Hillary Kerr, the co-founder and chief content officer of Who What Wear, and this is Second Life, a podcast spotlighting women with truly inspiring careers. We're talking about their work journeys, what they've learned from the process of setting aside their doubts or fears, and what happens when they embark on their second life. Today, I'm speaking with model and entrepreneur Karolina Kurkova. As one of the youngest models to be featured on the cover of Vogue when she was just 16 years old, you could say Karolina cemented her status as a supermodel pretty early on. Her career is iconic, from her first fashion week when she was exclusive to Prada and inspired the entire collection, to starring in ad campaigns and walking the runways for brands like Chanel, Valentino, and Dior. But since this is Second Life, you know she's not stopping there. In 2017, Karolina turned a passion for holistic health and wellness into a company of her own when she co-founded Griff and Ivy Rose. Born from three parents' desire for sustainable, high-quality, and pediatrician-approved wellness products for kids, the company is creating innovative products like probiotic chocolate hearts and immune-boosting elixirs, and is stocked in over 150 retailers nationwide. I can't wait for you to hear how Karolina has pivoted her career from modeling to wellness and all the lessons she's learned along the way. Now, on Second Life, it's Karolina Kurkova. So on this podcast, we like to start at the beginning. So what did you study in school and what did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
So at school, yeah, I was definitely drawn to performing, even though I was very shy. But I think for me, performing and kind of being silly and goofy and moving, it kind of overcomes, I guess, my shyness and my some sort of insecurity. So I guess, yeah, I've always been into very creative stuff. But I also love sports. I mean, my dad was a professional basketball player, so sports were very much part of my whole life. I mean, growing up with dad who, you know, was a basketball player. I grew up on the weekends at a basketball court, you know, seeing him play and cheering for him and screaming at the referees. Those were kind of the two things I was really into. But when you're young and at school, it's so hard to know what you want to do in life. You know, I feel like you need to really experience in life a little bit to know. You know, then coming to fashion business at age 15, while I still was at school, you know, that really taught me a lot and showed me.
So let's talk about that.
And opened a lot of doors. So
you were 15. How did that start? What was your first job? How did things start happening for you? I want the origin story, please.
So at age like 14, I think it's like any girl, you know, especially having my, you know, insecurities and being so different and not feeling.
Were you tall at that age?
I was super tall. I mean, I was the tallest of all the boys and girls and a lot of the schools. And again, you know, I come from a smaller town. So, yeah, I was looking at, I mean, at that time we had video fashion files. So that was the only really way I could see about fashion and learn about that world. We didn't have Vogues and, you know, Bazaars and all those magazines. We didn't have the internet like now. You couldn't Google things. So that was really my introduction to fashion. And I just loved how models looked glamorous and beautiful and confident. And I thought, wow, I want to feel that. I want to be like that. I could feel it from them. And I wanted to kind of experience it and feel it. But, you know, I didn't think I could ever be a model. And so I had this girl in my class and she wanted to be a photographer. And she said, you know, why don't I take a few pictures in your room? And I was very shy. Mind you, I hated taking pictures and videos. I mean, a lot of my photos, if you look, you know, from my photo album. So like, you know, I'm squeaking. I'm like, you know, I wasn't like into it. And she did a few pictures and she sent it to an agency without telling me. And then I get this phone call at home from a modeling agency in Prague. I was not living in Prague. Prague is the capital city of the Czech Republic. I lived like an hour and a half from Prague. And they said, you know, we saw your pictures and we would love to meet you. Are you interested in modeling? So at first I wanted to kill my friend.
Were you so shocked?
Yeah, I was. But really, I was first thinking like, I want to kill my friend. Why would she send photos without asking me? And then I thought, wow, well, they want to meet me. So then I felt like, wow, this is kind of cool. And really, and me, they want to meet me. But yeah, I kind of would like to, but I don't know if I ever can. Like, can I? So I talked to my parents and they said, you know, why don't we just go if you want it, go and just you have nothing to lose. So I went with my parents and it was very old school. I remember, you know, I had to kind of build my book and you go and you take
photos. So they were interested.
Yeah, they're very interested. They thought, you know, I should give it a try. I mean, I was, mind you, 14. Right. So I did a few like photo shoots with photographers just to have some pictures to kind of present clients and have like my representation book of mm-hmm. how I look in photographs. And it was interesting. Once I was on a set, I felt like I've done it before. I knew what to do. This whole kind of shyness and insecurities, you know, almost like disappeared in some way. You know, I kind of understood the light.
Just organically, yeah, you just felt
very, yeah, just very organically. But it's funny, before I wasn't, but maybe because this was, I don't know, it just
in a professional setting.
Exactly. It was more that it was maybe a concept, there were clothes, you know, I could kind of play with who I was and these different emotions and different people in me, right? Women, we are not a one woman. We're right. many women inside. And so I was able to tap into all those different feelings and emotions, which I guess I loved. And that goes back to, you know, performer, theater. And, you know, I could really play and have fun and enjoy. And, you know, it didn't matter that maybe I'm not that person in real life, but I could kind of tap into it and like play with it.
Play a role on set.
You know, exactly.
So how quickly did you start getting work?
Pretty. So I was 14. So that at that time, I mean, we're talking about 21 years ago, you know, in Czech Republic, the market wasn't there for a girl aged 14. So I did do like the teenager magazines, you know, with the two ponytails and the braids. I did a lot of commercials. Mm-hmm. And then I would do runway. And I guess when I walked on the runway, I didn't really look 14. I looked much older. I had this like presence. And so I would literally go on castings with like the designers in the Czech Republic. And they ask me, well, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 14. They're like, you're 14. And, you know, the clothing would be designed for more like mature women.
Right.
So I literally was this 14-year-old, you know, modeling these women, grown-up women clothes with all these like much older girls,
right.
you know. So I was always the youngest
the baby
kid on the block. And then that continued coming to, you know, the real world of fashion when I...
But that's a really great way that you were getting some of those, you know, like it was like a training ground for you.
For sure.
In so many ways. You were starting to figure out how to do things, what was standard, what was protocol, how to be professional
and
on set.
At such a young age, you know, really kind of on my own. I mean, my parents were there and they, you know, supported me and, you know, my dad would always drive me to go to castings and stuff. But then, you know, I started to kind of take the train. I would do it like myself because I didn't even live in Prague.
So you're very independent.
Very independent.
Age.
But I've always been very independent from very young age. You know, I'm the oldest. I have a younger brother. And that was kind of like normal. You know, I would pick him up from school and, you know, I would stay with him until my mom finished work and, you know, we would hang and I would, you know, I would take the bus to go to school at age 6. You walk to school. It was just, that's how it was. It was nothing.
That's how you grew up.
In a community, that's, it was nothing.
Unusual.
Unusual, exactly.
So how did you get escalated from local Czech Republic to then going to Milan and your first big contract was with Prada, right?
Mm-hmm. So I had a agency in the Czech Republic. And then, of course, you know, once you have your card, the agents around the world kind of see your card. And a casting director, Russell Marsh, who was doing casting for Prada for many, many years, he saw my card and I met him in person. And I guess he liked me. And I remember meeting Miss Miuccia Prada. And a week later, I was booked for exclusivity for the Prada show, and I had to come to Milan for 2 weeks, and all the collection was made on me, all the looks were, like, created on me, and I spent 2 weeks with them, and then I opened the show.
What was that like?
You know, it was amazing, but I think when it's so new, and it's like, when you don't really know.
You like, were 15.
Exactly. But you kind of know what a big of a deal that is. But you also at the same time don't know.
And you don't have the perspective.
Exactly. And I think that was really great because that it kept it very real to like for me being real, being authentic me, never be like, oh my God, or, you know, get too scared or too insecure or overly think it, you right. know, just kind of being in the moment, enjoying it and being me and giving my best.
Were the hours long? And was that crazy to be like, okay, I'm 15, a collection is being built on my body for the next 2 weeks? What is that day to day like?
The days were long, for sure. It was a kind of a cool time, you know, for me at that age to really experience, because it was definitely full on and hands on. You know, people were very passionate about what they were doing. You know, they would be immersed in it, and yeah, and they spent a lot of time on it. So they were long days, but it was exciting. It was cool to see all the behind the scenes, how everything happens and how it all comes together.
And then how was the opening the show?
Amazing. I mean, it was an amazing experience. I mean, it was 21 years ago.
Did you feel nervous about walking? Did you feel nervous about the other girls? Was it exciting? Did you feel confident?
I think I felt all those emotions. I definitely felt excited, nervous, all of it. You know, I wanted to just be great, but at the same time, so grateful and so excited. Like, this is so awesome, I get to do this, and
right.
I am 15, and it's not like I've done much, and you know, I'm here in Milan opening, you know, one of the best and the biggest fashion brands show. And
what does a job like that do for your career, working with a Prada right out of the gate?
It was huge. It's career changing for sure, because Prada, especially at that time, was really the brand that would, and is still now, would do always something that was different.
Have always unique, been known for their casting.
Known for their casting, but also for the way they style and the way they do their shows. It's always like, what are they going to do next?
It's intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that not all fashion is, and which is in part why I think the brand is so very deeply respected. So you shot the cover of US Vogue only a couple years later, when you were 16,
no,
17?
No, a year later.
A year 16. Later. How did that happen, and what is it like to do that?
Well, that's another huge, huge moment in my career. I mean, that was a life-changing moment also. So I came to New York first time. You know, I was actually not even 16 yet. I came for 2 weeks just to meet my agency there and meet some of the clients and casting directors, because when you're a new girl, you have to kind of do that. You need people in the business need to get to know you, meet you in person, who you are, not just see your photos, but kind of also understand who you are as a person. And I remember meeting the casting director at Vogue, American Vogue, and she took a few Polaroids and she asked me a few questions. And then a week later, she wanted me to go and meet Anna Wintour. And again, you know, it's going back to not having perspective. Everyone around me, what are you going to wear? What are you going to say? And if she asks you this, what are you going to do? And I remember I was like, well, I'm just going to answer. I'm going to wear something nice. You know, I was more nervous because they were so nervous themselves that it made me nervous. Mm-hmm. But, you know, meeting Anna was an amazing experience. It was in the office of 4 Times Square. So she did have her desk all the way at the end. So when you came into her office, you definitely, you know, had to do that walk. The moment of just like walking while she's at the desk looking at you, which can be very intimidating.
Wow.
But then once I sat down, she was so warm and so kind and so sweet. And, you know, she asked me a few questions and we talked, had a conversation. And, you know, she does have kids my age. So I think, you know, she understood and she was very sweet and caring. And that was it. I left. And I remember I got booked for a first American photo shoot. That was my first test. You know, how will I do, mm-hmm. you know, being a Vogue girl? And how would I handle myself on a trip? It was a trip in South of France with Arthur Elgort. It was a beauty story. And the pictures were beautiful. Then the next thing came. So, you know, that was kind of like she passed mm-hmm. that one thing. Okay, we can move her up to the next thing. And then I met Steven Meisel. in a studio, who is incredible and an incredible photographer and someone who understands person's face and understands clothes and makeup and hair and knows how to transform you in a way that is beautiful and different and unique and maybe in a way that you would never thought of yourself. And he really knows how to like push, but at the same time, keep things like timeless and beautiful. So I met with him. And then a week later, I was shooting the first real, the most important fashion story for American Vogue, the September issue story, the collection story, which is after the fashion weeks. That's where you, you know, shoot the best of the best. And I was shooting with Steven Meisel, Grace Cuddington. I remember Garen and Pat. Garen cuts my bang.
And Pat McGrath.
And Pat McGrath did my makeup. I got like a smudgy, smoky eye. Mm-hmm. Garen cuts me the bang. I have like blonder hair. And I remember that was really kind of the first time I felt like really empowered, encouraged, like, you know, by people in the industry who knew, you know, who I respected and knew what they're talking about. So really that photo shoot was very important to me, not just in my career, but also
personally,
as a woman, as a
confidence boosting
person,
self-awareness moment.
Yes.
So then what about the cover?
So we're shooting the story, and then the last day, everything was done in the studio, and the last day, Steven goes, you know, after lunch, it was a beautiful day. It was in New York, and the studio had like a terrace. And he said, you know, we're just going to do this picture outside, and I would love you to just walk and smile and have a great time. What music do you want to hear? And of course, that time, I was like, Madonna, Madonna. So he was like, fine, play her Madonna. And it was just like the perfect day. And I remember wearing this beautiful Louis Vuitton jacket and a skirt, like flower skirt that was like nice and flowy. And literally I would walk and smile and, you know, do my thing. I felt so good. And that was the cover moment, which I even had no idea. And I remember like 3 weeks later, my agent in New York calls me. And I happened to be in town. So I would, you know, travel back and mm-hmm. forth. I was at school. So I would always like come in whenever I could to US. And he said, you know, I really need to speak to you. It's very, very important. I need you to come to the office. And I thought, okay, what happened? I hope everything's okay. So I come in and he's like really serious. And then he finally says, you know, Vogue called us and their Anna is looking into two pictures as cover possibilities from your shoot. And he said, you know, if she does that, like that is really huge and life-changing. I mean, I was just about to be 16. I was not even 16. You know, I was a girl from the Czech Republic, from a small town. I was not royalty. I didn't have a blockbuster movie. I didn't have an album to promote. You know, I was just this girl that was just starting in the business. And again, even I didn't have the perspective. I didn't even know. I couldn't comprehend what does that really mean? What would that mean? But of course, the agents being in the business, they understood and they knew, you know, if she does, if that happens, it's you just have to be ready. I remember he said, you know, and, you know, handle what's going to come. And she did. She put me on a cover at age 16. I'm not now the youngest anymore. Serena's daughter is the youngest on the cover of Vogue. She beat me, but I was the youngest for a very long time.
We can still give it to you.
And for sure.
And then your experience with that led to so many more amazing things. So you worked with Victoria's Secret. You were an angel. You had a million contracts with different fashion houses. You did runway and print for everyone from like Chanel to Celine and Valentino. You've walked in every major runway known to mankind. You have done every side of the industry from the brand side to editorial to runway. What do you love the most and what do you think is the most rewarding?
I love it all.
Really?
Yeah, I love to do the runway. I love to do photo shoots. And yeah, I because each thing kind of is a different thing. But also each photo shoot, it's different, right?
Yeah.
Depending which photographer you work with, which brand, it's a completely different vibe and style that you get to play with and wear. And
do you like that newness?
I like that. I like that I get to, you know, constantly kind of, it's fresh, it's refreshing, it's different. You know,
it's not like, same day at the office.
It's not the same thing all the time. I mean, it is same in a sense, like, you know, you're coming in and, you know, you got to come in raw. Because when you come in too sad to work, you know, you work with a lot of different personalities and you are the canvas, but you need everyone's paint to make it happen. And, you know, so there is a lot of personalities you deal with. You know, sometimes people are nice, sometimes they're not. And, you know, how do you navigate through that? How do you not get that maybe destroy you or affect you that much? Or if it does, like, how do you bring it in and turn it around or just, like, utilize it to in your work and in your performance? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to create. I love to work, you know, but I also love going to the office now, having my own startup.
So it's interesting, though. It's like clearly you're very collaborative. Clearly you have a great sense of a great work ethic. You obviously have this amazing entrepreneurial sensibility. What was the key moment that brought it all together and you thought, I'm going to start my own company?
So I've always been trying different things and done the TV, I would produce, I would collaborate, I would do this and this and that. And then I think after having kids, it was just like the perfect time. I really wanted to find something that I can put all of that into something that I also own and I can really have more say than just for that minute or that period or that, you know, percentage or that moment. And it was just really the timing. I met my two partners, Rachel and Orion. And Rachel, actually, she had identical twins who were born at 28 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
And she had to spend with her two daughters, identical twins, 3 months at ICU. And of course, being such a preemies, they had a lot of issues the first year, especially coming back home, couldn't go to the bathroom, they couldn't sleep for a year. And after a year, obviously having, you know, these struggles, she and trying the medical route and, you know, she didn't feel like there was much progress and she was desperate. She really wanted to find other solutions. And, you know, having these babies on these strong drugs, she just realized with her husband, like, I can't have them forever on this. Like, there has to be another way. And she met Orion, who is a herbalist, and his father, who's a Chinese medicine doctor and been working in this field for his father for 35 years, and Orion, who is his son, for 20 years in Miami. And she went and they did a little bit of acupressure. They prescribed a little bit of a herbal formulation they've created for the girls. And literally within a week, they could poop, they could sleep. And she was so amazed with the power of these herbs and this, you know, Chinese wisdom and philosophies and tools and practices that she felt, you know, we have to make it more modern, more available, more out there for all the other parents like me. And I, well, my connection to the whole wellness, I mean, comes from really from my upbringing. I grew up, you know, in the Czech Republic, and my grandparents had a country house, they had a land, and they ate what the land gave you. So, you know, since I can remember as a little girl, every weekend I would spend in that country house. We would seed, we would harvest, we had to take care of the garden, you know, with my grandparents and cut the grass. And we had chickens and we would have warm, fresh eggs. I would go in the morning and check, like, you know, to my chickens, like, are you giving me some eggs today? You know, that we would go and cook and my grandma made everything from scratch. I would sit on the floor with her. We would make homemade jam and homemade pickles. And, you know, I've never really thought of those moments ever until I really became a mom and a parent. And I thought, wow, you know, I was so lucky and that I got to experience this. And then I lived this. And then, you know, I have this, not just memories with my grandparents, you know, as a child that I get to, like, experience, but this connection to Mother Nature, to foods and what it's like to grow it and to take care of it. You know, like, I feel like, you know, even our kids, they don't always have that experience. Like, they just see it at a supermarket and then you buy it, you eat it. You know, they don't always see what happens before. And I think it's so important and it's really changes the way they eat, their connection to food. And so that's a little bit how I grew up. And then being in the fashion business and being an athlete, you know, being very disciplined. And, you know, I knew you had to take care of your body. You have to sleep, you have to exercise, you eat you have to eat the right foods and, you know, that give you energy. And then being in the fashion business, being in front of camera, you know, always expected to look like just perfect skin, glow, never tired, never in pain, perfect hair, you know, beautiful smile and everything just like great. And, you know, I want to, of course, always achieve that and want to give that when I work with people. I want to give my energy. I want them to have a great time. But in order to give, I need to feed myself.
Right.
And how do you feed yourself? It's the way, you know, what you do for your spirit, your mind, your body. So I've learned that very early on, you know, like how I have to eat and how foods affects my energy. You know, a lot of it is really for me was not just how it made me look, but how it made me feel.
Right.
I couldn't deal with these jet lags and being on the set with like 30 people who are looking at you and pulling your hair and smile now and now jump. And now, you know, you're really sad. And now tell me 10 times like, how, you know, this line and then get on the plane and then go to the next shoot, you know. So I've learned to kind of, you know, find my ways. And you know, I was vegan. I was raw foodist. I mean, 15 years ago when it was really not even popular, available, I would do like, you know, yoga retreats. I would do meditation. I would do acupuncture.
So wellness has always been a part of your world.
Yes. And I would go to Orion and his father with my family. And that's kind of how we all connected. And my husband and Rachel's husbands, they met and they knew each other and they felt like we should be friends. So then we kind of connected at the same time and we all felt, you know, there was a space for this wellness, health, beauty in the kids' family space. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to take these traditional Chinese medicine wisdoms, but make it modern, make it more approachable, make it fun, you know, even for the kids. So really our focus with Griffin Ivy Rose were a lot about prevention, about the lifestyle, being there to assist the children and the parents with whatever they need, whether it's like with the belly aches, the sleep, the mood, the gut, keeping, you know, the gut strong and healthy where your immune system lives. But also with tools like with our expert advisors of the brand, Stephen Cowan, who is an incredible pediatrician. And he really, for the last 25 years, been focused on child development, like ADD, ADHD, behavior issues. He writes books, he teaches, he travels. That's really his focus. It's really making sure kids, you know, are thriving, they're confident, and they feel good in the school setting and who they are and in life and have the tools to succeed. And then we have Orion, who's our herbalist, you know, really educating people about these plants and herbs and their powers, you know, and that they've been here more than 5,000 of years. And then his father, Dan, who is a Chinese medicine doctor, really creating these very specific formulations in our Bath and Body and in our herbal elixirs. They're not just ingredients that we go by what's trendy or what's good for this and that. It's a very specific formulation based on Chinese medicine wisdom. It's like a symphony. Like everything needs to be aligned and in tune in order to perform and work.
That makes sense.
So it's been really an amazing journey. We started last year. We're a new startup. And, you know, it's been awesome for me to have two amazing partners that we are very different, come from very different, you know, places of life, and us coming together and really making sure that we create a brand that it's about quality, that is there to support, to assist, and really cultivate this lifestyle for the family.
What are your favorite products that you've created?
So between three of us, we have kids age from 2 to 13, and all the kids are very involved in like the product design, the names, the animals, because we have a lot of animals and fun names. So it's really cool. You know, they get to really test it. They tell us, oh, that sucks. Oh, that's bad. That tastes horrible. You know,
kids are
cool.
A very honest focus group.
Which we love, you know, so they really tell us how it is. My favorite product, there's so many, but I would say the Chocolate Heart Probiotic. It's really like one of our best sellers. We make it for kids, but we also make it for adults. And I love that there's this one product that you can do, which is healthy. It's delicious. It's like a treat with a benefit, but that a parent, mom or dad, can do with the child together.
So from a business side of things, did you decide to take outside investment? Did you decide to self-fund? How did you think about that process as you started growing the company?
So we actually, initially it was three of us. We we invested in it and our spouses and our family. So it was very, I mean, it's still very family.
Yeah.
The investors are really family and friends. We haven't done like a big round of investments or raising money. And we like that, you know, that we can really be small. We can kind of control it. We can grow slowly. We want to really take our time and kind of test things and try things, you know, and just kind of have that control. And but eventually, I'm sure we're going to go out there and really pull more of like a strategic partner that will bring also the money, but also brings, you know, the knowledge. Yes, so, we're still very, very new.
Bootstrapping makes sense.
So, yeah, we're just really there to kind of learn, you know, all the co-founders are, you know, we're very fluid. We have to be. And which, I mean, I love, you know, I love the fact that I get to, you know, pack the packages for our customers, but I get to be part of the product design, you know, the smell, or the packaging, the marketing, the PR, the sales, you know, showing up at trade shows, you know, meeting with retailers or doing training, like any of it. Like, I really enjoy that I get to kind of still, you know, butterfly in all these different areas, you know, learning about manufacturing. I mean, that's definitely not something I'm fully focused on. That's Orion. That's really, you know, he's really good at manufacturing and all that. But I like to still kind of know and learn.
Well, everyone has, you have your fields of expertise, and then you also have interest in all of the aspects of it because it's your company. I love that you say that we're keeping it small because you guys are already, you have your own e-commerce, and you're already in over 150 retailers around the world, which is kind of crazy. And we're talking everyone from like Neiman Marcus to small boutiques, which is incredible and a real testament to your product. What advice would you give listeners who are maybe starting out and trying to find the right distribution partners? What advice would you give them?
You know, again, it really helps that we're still so small, so we can really test the market. We can really listen to our retailers and our customers, which we do a lot. So a lot of our new products that are coming out, it's really from listening to our customers and retailers, you know, what feedback they're giving us, what they really feel like they need and want. That's really helpful. So we kind of know, okay, what we should focus on. So we don't do this like crazy market research. Like, we are small enough so we can adapt very quickly. We can make changes quickly, which I think it's important. We don't have like a big distributor. Where we see the power is showing up, whether it's a trade show or doing hands-on events, whether they're smaller or bigger, or affairs, or coming into, you know, the right space or retailer and hosting something and being present, whether it's like me or Orion or Rachel, like meeting the co-founders or anybody from our team, where people really get a chance to hands-on kind of be introduced to our brand, try our products, learn deeply about the product. I feel like that's really, we see the power. It really makes a difference. So really this year, that's where we're going to spend a lot of like the marketing focus and our time on. It's really connect with the people and just getting out there.
I love that.
In person.
So on this podcast, we like to think about the things that we're doing in our career when we're first starting out are actually building towards the next phase or the next evolution of whatever, wherever that career path takes us. So I'm wondering if you could draw a line between some of the things that you learned early in your career with modeling to what you're doing now.
I've learned so many things in from the fashion. I mean, you know, I've worked with like the best art directors, the best PR people, photographers, you know, marketers. And the cool thing, because I'm so curious and I've always been and I am, I've always asked questions. And I really paid attention to every person around and their role and how they were doing it and why. I feel like I've learned a lot. I mean, that was like the best business, you know, marketing and every, you know, degree. And really what I've learned a lot, I feel like learning how to manage people and, you know, understand people, that really was huge, because that's something you can't necessarily go and, you know, get educated on. You just have to kind of get the experience and learn, oh, okay, this person's a little bit like this. Maybe I need to like keep it down. Or this person, I need to really bring them out and give them a lot of energy and love. And, you know, so you kind of learn to be psychologist in some way.
Well, I also think it's such a collaborative process, and it's having co-founders now too. It's like you understand how to work with different types of people, to read the room, to understand what someone's strength is and to celebrate it and really make the product larger than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's so incredibly valuable, and that to your point, there's no class on collaboration.
And I'm lucky that I have, you know, I'm not doing it myself. It's not just me. I really have two partners, mm-hmm. you know, who we can kind of collaborate and we can conquer and divide. And we are on the same page. You know, we're not trying to cut corners. We're not trying to like just make the money or just let's go fast. You know, we're not here to go fast. Of course, we want to, you know, grow and create something meaningful, but we're not necessarily trying to like cut corners. I mean, quality is very important to all three of us, which it's huge.
Central to the brand, really.
And not always all, you know, partners or co-founders maybe feel about the same, you know, like
correct.
Everyone else sometimes has this different values. And for me, and what was important that the values were very much across the board, same. You know, we're very hands-on, and I think that's like the best when you are, I think, in the beginning, building a brand or anything. It's just having those moments and those experiences like that you're always going to look back on, you know, like,
yep.
You know what? I was there. I was part of it. You know, whether it's glamorous, non-glamorous, and there are things that you need to go through in order to create something meaningful and successful. I think you do.
Very much so.
You know, otherwise it's just,
you just don't learn otherwise. So we like to talk about mistakes on the podcast. So I'm hoping you can tell me about a mistake that you've made in your career at some point and what you learned from it.
I've definitely learned to listen more. I think when I was younger, you tend to be a little bit more stubborn. You think you know everything and that you know it all. And yes, you know, we do have our gut feelings. But I think I've learned to listen more and be open-minded to other people's opinions. And that doesn't mean that I have to agree with it. Doesn't mean that I have to act upon it. But I think it shows a level of respect towards the other. It gives you a lot of power, you know, when you're able to listen and hear someone out.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you run a business, I think it's really important, you know, people who are working with you or around you or at any level, it doesn't matter. Even they're your partners or they're somebody who works for you or, you know, his assistant. You know, you kind of want to make sure you always kind of hear them out and, you know, hear their opinion or their suggestion or their idea, because it might be a great idea, you know. And so I've learned to kind of like, okay, tell me what you think. Why? Explain it to me, justified it to me, and then I think about it. And then if it makes sense to me, now I'm looking at things differently. So I think that's definitely I've learned to master.
I love that.
More.
So on this podcast, we have a lot of people who listen to it who maybe they're doing one thing and they have in their heart that they want to do something else, or even they like their career, but they're interested in expanding in some way, the way that you have. What advice would you give someone who's looking to do the next thing, but maybe is a little bit afraid of taking that leap?
You know, I've been there. It's hard. And I think it's harder, especially if you're someone already successful in one area, like one business. And then you're trying to take the leap or step into another and start from zero. That's very scary. And that sometimes, and most of the times, really holds people back. You know, even including me, you know, there are other things that I think I know I could do and I love, but it like scares me. And I've learned, and you know, my husband says it all the time, you know, the things that scares you means you gotta do. But I think for me, I'm definitely someone who likes to like have the foundation. So like, I would like want to like get a lot of information and like just enrich myself and educate myself and really kind of prepare myself the best way that I can. So really, you know, research like who does it good or how can I practice it or do it before maybe I completely, you know, leave where I'm at. But it also depends, you know, do you have a family? Maybe you can just leave that job because that's really well-paid job and it gives you security, which when you have kids and family that you're taking care of, it's very important. So maybe it's like, you know, like the little steps on the side, somehow, you know, you get involved in that band or that theater or, you know, taking class online for it, to slowly, slowly, you know, tap into it.
It's true. I think it's a the key part of the question is it depends on where you are in your life. It depends on who's depending on you. It depends on your how much financial risk you can take. You know, I think the risks that you can take when you're 23 are very different than when you're 43, for example.
Absolutely.
There's so many variables to it. My last question is my favorite question, which is if you could go back in time and speak to younger Carolina and say, hey, I'm going to give you some advice. What would that advice be?
Well, definitely what advice I would give to people, and I do, and, you know, I kind of do remind myself, is, you know, always remember where you came from and always treat people around you with respect and kindness and treat them like they are the most important people, because those people one day will be the people you will need or will be, you know, the head of studios will be the next stars. And I mean, I've seen it. I've witnessed this myself, you know, being in the business 21 years. You know, when I started with Prada when I was 15, all the people who used to work at Prada at that time, the assistants, the shoe designers, or the assistant of the assistant, are now the mega stars. So, you know, you always got to make a great impression on everybody at any level.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm so glad we were able to do this. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down
here
with me.
Thank you.
That was the model and co-founder of Griff and Ivy Rose, Carolina Kurkova. For more inspiring interviews with women like Carolina, head on over to secondlifepod.com, where we have so many more for you to peruse. If you like today's show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to rate and review us. We love seeing you spread the word on social, and now you can tag us in your posts. We are at Second Life Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or even on Facebook. We always want to know who you'd like to hear from on the show, so send in your requests to hello@secondlifepod.com, or you can DM us on Instagram. I'm at Hillary Kerr. The show is at Second Life Pod. Our DMs are always open. I'm Hillary Kerr, and you've been listening to Second Life.